sweeping over sun-kissed waters toward a jutting rock against a turbulent sunset. Logotype Marvista Entertainment ripples up from the deep. The sun flashes white to black background where a blazing sunset and its warm ripple reflection frame the rock's shattered imprint, Marvista Entertainment. Text against a foggy landscape, Marvista Entertainment presents an Indie Films LLC production, a bridge over a river with a roaring horseshoe waterfall next to it. Against the now overhead waterfall, title in block red letters, A Mother's Revenge. A view of a town on a clear sunny day, a street sign, Niagara, credits appear, Jamie Lunar, a car speeds by, a set of business buildings, Stephen Brand, Audrey Whitby. Boats on a bobbing jetty, Jason Shane Scott, morning light thins the marine layer. A lighthouse against the clearing sky, Gerald Webb, Richard Lunello. A plane takes off against the cloudless sky. The plane lands, suitcases move along on a baggage carousel near the plane. Suitcases pass through flaps into the baggage claim carousel. Sign over a glass passageway, gate 4, passengers with luggage deplane into an airport, amongst them a dark blonde woman on her cell.
Hi, Katie. Just got off the plane.
How was your flight?
It was good. It was a little bumpy, but nothing I can't handle.
Just like real life.
The woman smiles.
Just like real life.
College grounds.
Mom, I'm very proud of you for making this trip all by yourself.
Okay, I'm not the child here, you are.
I realize that. It's just, I know how difficult these things are for you right now.
Mom's smile fades.
Well, I just, you know.
Katie nods head.
It means a lot to me.
Honey, I know it does. But don't you worry about me. I really am. I'm doing much better now. I haven't tried to kill anyone in at least a week.
Katie beams.
Well, I'm back to work, and I think I might be up for a promotion.
I never doubted you, Mom. I know you'll get it.
Yeah, maybe. Right now, I just gotta dust myself off, keep this mess together, and enjoy watching you graduate.
Well, you came to the right place.
So when do I get to see you?
I'll catch a ride over to the hotel and see you in a little while.
Okay, well, I should probably be there in about an hour, depending on the traffic.
Cool, see you in a few.
All right, I love you, Katie.
Love you, Mom.
Katie's mom sighs at her phone. Phone to ear.
Hello?
Jennifer, hi, it's me.
Yes, I know who it is, Richard.
Dark hair.
You in Buffalo yet?
I just arrived.
Suit and loose tie.
All right, well, I'm still late over in Newark, but I should be there in a few hours.
Okay, but you don't have to tell me your whereabouts anymore. Besides, it never worked in the past.
Jen, come on. Katie's graduation is important.
I'm sure it is, and what does that have to do with me?
Jennifer passes by a suited man with strong jaw who looks down, pops a piece of gum, then raises chin. His mouth corner goes up, then descends. Now Richard.
Well, I was just kind of hoping that maybe we could get together for dinner. Tonight.
The airport.
Dinner. With you. Yeah, I don't think so.
Why not?
Richard, I'm trying to get my bag and get out of here, okay?
The suited man's sleeve is tugged and he turns back with pouted lips.
Yes, what is it?
This just fell out of your pocket.
A teen with a blonde girl. The girl hands him a leather money clip with cash in it.
Well, thank you, little lady.
His grin reaches his eyes.
You know, this belonged to my father?
He shows the clip.
I would have hated to have lost it. You know what you are, don't you?
Headshake.
You are a good Samaritan. That's someone who does good deeds.
With Richard.
Okay. But will you at least just think about it?
The airport.
Please.
Listen, if I change my mind, I'll call you.
Jennifer grabs a black suitcase with yellow stripe from the carousel. The distracted suited man.
Were you traveling?
We're trying to get to Florida to see my folks, but our flight got canceled till tomorrow.
He nods.
Stuck at the airport, huh?
The teen girl nods.
Money's a little tight.
The teen girl shrugs and looks away. He peels two banknotes from the clip.
Get yourselves a hotel room and a nice dinner. For being a good smart.
We can't.
I insist.
The teen girl gazes at him, then takes the cash.
Thank you.
Teen girl smiles and picks up a backpack.
Bye.
She takes the young girl's hand and they walk upstairs. He waves at them, then turns away, sucks in his lower lip, glances down and grins. His smile fades and jaw clenches. Jennifer approaches a car rental stand.
Good afternoon. I have a reservation for Jennifer Clark.
Your license.
Jennifer shows a document to a blonde woman. Outside, people leave the airport. Inside, a single black travel suitcase with a yellow stripe moves along the baggage carousel.
The white zone is for immediate loading and unloading of passengers only.
The suited man sucks in cheeks and peeks at his watch, grim-faced. The suitcase approaches the corner. A man's hand picks it up. Outside, cars drive on a tree-shaded street. A huge red brick building with patterned accents, a sign on the roof, Hotel Lafayette. Inside in a kitchen, the black suitcase sits on an armchair. A phone lies on a glass table, on its screen a picture of Katie and her name. Jennifer enters, picks up the phones. Sits down.
Katie.
Hi, Mom. I'm running a little late, but I'm on my way. I promise.
That's okay. I haven't even unpacked.
You bring Grandma's earrings?
I did. They're in my suitcase.
You're the best.
You said it, not me.
Be there soon.
No, honey, don't rush. Life is not a race.
You said it, not me.
Jennifer's chin wrinkles. She puts down the phone. Picks up the suitcase and drags it to a nearby room. Enters the bedroom, throws the suitcase on a bed with white sheets. Puts the phone on the bed and unzips the suitcase. In the suitcase, man's shirts and ties.
What?
She picks up one tie, closes her eyes and her arm drops.
That's great.
Shuts the suitcase. Rubs her forehead and reaches into an inside pocket of her blazer, takes out a sheet of paper. Grabs the phone and sits on the bed. Glances at the sheet and dials on her phone. A short-haired woman in a black blazer and ID answers an airport counter phone.
Baggage claim, this is Nancy. How could I help you?
Yes, hi. I've made some sort of awful mistake. I opened up my suitcase, only it's not my suitcase. I must have left mine at the airport.
Well, that happens. If I can get your name, the flight number, and the airline, I'll look into it for you.
Well, my name is Jennifer Clark, only my tag on the bag says Williams. It's my married name.
Nancy notes.
And my flight is Universal International, flight 1711 from Chicago.
Okay.
Nancy leans over to a laptop.
Just hold on 1 second, please.
In the hotel, grim face Jennifer shifts.
There's been no luggage remaining from flight 1711. I'm sorry, under the names William or Clark.
Are you sure? No, it's a small black bag.
We don't have any unclaimed baggage from that flight.
And nobody else has called in with their luggage missing. Is there a name on the bag?
Jennifer lowers her head and scans each side of the suitcase.
No, there's no tag on this bag.
I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe your bag was picked up by mistake as well.
Maybe. So what do I do?
Well, I can arrange to have the bag picked up at your hotel if you like, and we'll give you a call if your luggage turns up.
Jennifer presses lips.
Okay, I guess that's best. I'm staying at the Hotel Lafayette here in downtown.
It will be at least 24 hours before we can arrange a pickup. If you just
leave it at the front desk, we won't have to bother you.
Long face.
I can do that.
Well, we have all of your information, and we will give you a call if your bag turns up. And again, we apologize for the inconvenience.
It's okay. It's my fault. Thank you.
Jennifer puts the phone down.
That's great.
The man's hand sets down on a table the black suitcase with yellow stripe. The man opens a small pocket and goes through envelopes and documents. Unzips a bigger pocket to find an ID with a phone number and name. Jennifer Williams. At the Lafayette Hotel. Jennifer enters the kitchen and heads to the main door. Opens it.
Katie.
Richard.
Hi, Jen.
I thought I said I would call you.
You did, but I couldn't take that chance. And besides, we're both staying in the same hotel, and there's a nice little restaurant right downstairs here in the lobby.
Her mouth twitches.
What do you say?
Richard.
Withheld words.
Can you invite me in?
Brows rise and he pushes by.
Oh. Wow. That's nice.
Her arms cross.
You just got a promotion you're hoping for.
His back to her.
Not yet.
He cracks a smile and nods to himself, then turns to her.
It'll come. Just gotta keep pounding the rock.
Bemused, she looks off.
I'm sorry, I'm just really not in the mood for, like, small talk right now.
Look, Jen, Lord knows we've had our troubles, but I need to prove to you that I'm not the monster everybody believes I am.
Good luck with that.
He gawks.
It really doesn't matter because we're through, right? At least that's what the state of Illinois says.
She steps off and he purses lips.
But I'm not Mrs. Williams anymore, so I don't actually have to do what you say.
Mouth breathes the thought.
I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm just asking to have dinner with me.
Tired smile.
Yeah, no.
Recoiled headshake.
Jen, come on. It's our daughter's graduation. It's the biggest day of her life. You know, I was hoping that as her parents, you know, maybe we could put on a unified front for at least one day.
Her back to him.
For Katie's sake.
Spins wide-eyed at him.
For Katie's sake?
Gives him a long stare.
Suddenly you care about what Katie thinks?
Of course I do.
Okay, so why don't you ask her how she feels about having a new baby sister?
Jen.
Or how she feels about having a stepmother who's only, what, 4 years older than she is?
Can't change what's happened, Jen.
No, I'm not asking you to change. I'm the one that's changing. I'm becoming my own person.
He nods.
Yeah, I might have got knocked out of my senses by all of this, but I found my feet again. I'm getting stronger every day.
He bobbles a clenched jaw.
So I hear. And I'm happy for you.
I'm sure you are.
Maybe I'll see you tomorrow.
Grim-faced, he steps off to the door. He leaves. Long-faced Jennifer stares ahead, then looks at the door. She turns toward the sound. The phone lies by the microwave. The screen reads, unknown. She steps to the counter. Picks up the phone.
Hello?
Hi, this is B&W Airport. Is this Miss Williams?
Yes, it's Miss Williams.
I'm glad I was able to reach you. There's been a little mix-up here, as I'm sure you're probably aware by now. We have your luggage here at the airport. Appears you might have picked up the wrong suitcase by mistake at baggage claim. It happens all the time. I mean, so many bags look alike.
Yeah.
Eyes light up.
Yes, they do.
Well, the owner of the bag you have has been calling us since the plane landed. He's worried sick, as I'm sure you can imagine. So if you'll just tell me where you're staying, we'll get someone over to you right away and we can get this all sorted out.
Her brows furrow and lips part.
Just tell me where you're staying.
Neck flexes as she squints a string of blinks.
Miss Williams, I need to know where you're staying. I can't bring your bag if I don't know where you are.
She gulps.
Tell me where you're staying.
Rushes to hang up.
Jennifer, are you still...
She stares at the phone with wide eyes. Incoming call reads, unknown. She puts down the phone and steps away, leaving it on the counter while side-eyeing it and slipping out of the kitchen. In the bedroom, she opens the suitcase lid, pulls out a toiletry bag and unzips it, puts it aside. Goes through men's clothes. Takes them out. On the bottom, she moves aside a tie and finds a passport. She opens it to see the photo missing on the first page. Flicks through the passport to see all the pages empty, her chest rises. Puts the passport down and packs back the clothes and the toiletry bag into the suitcase, starts zipping the lid and notices the tie on her way, pushes it inside and zips the lid till the end. Pulls the suitcase and takes it out of the room. Elsewhere, the man's hands go through women's clothes in the suitcase. The hands hold a satin nightgown, then puts it down, unzip a lid from the inside. The hands take out several folders, amidst them a map and a Hotel Lafayette folder. The fingers rub it, put it aside and hold an invitation from Carmouth College with a photo of Katie in college cup and gown. The hands tear the invitation in half and hold Katie's photo. The hotel lobby, an elevator door opens. Jennifer steps out holding the suitcase. She walks brisk through the lobby toward the front desk and puts the suitcase on it.
Hi, can I help you?
Yes, I'd like to leave the suitcase here at the front desk. Someone from the airport will pick it up within 24 hours.
Okay.
A desk clerk puts the suitcase behind the desk.
Hey, is there a specific way that you'd like for me to mark it?
Jennifer's eyes dart.
No, just airport pickup. I don't care.
The desk clerk jots down and mouths pickup.
Is there anything else that I can help you out with today?
No, thank you.
Okay, have a good one. Easy, Mom, sorry, I didn't mean to scare you.
Oh, I just got a little surprised, that's all.
Sorry that I'm late, I missed the first train.
No problem at all, but do you mind if we just scoot out and go shopping?
Shopping?
Yeah, all of a sudden I need stuff, I need makeup, I need clothes.
Really, why?
Let me grab my purse and I'll tell you all about it.
Oh, okay. I can't wait.
The women leave.
So, it started when I was opening up the suitcase that I was looking for Grandma's earrings.
Jennifer and Katie leave the hotel, outside a view of the city by a river, the lighthouse, a tower. People sit on a balcony of a restaurant.
Well, they're still evaluating the presentation, so I don't know.
At a table.
Maybe I'll hear something in the next couple weeks.
I sure hope so. You deserve it. Especially after this.
What? After everything I've been through?
No. No, after the years of hard work that you put into that company. You deserve it.
Jennifer smiles.
But sometimes I think you gotta be a little more aggressive.
Huh.
More badass. You can't just take what life gives you. You have to stop being a doormat and grab what you want.
A doormat.
Jen looks off.
Maybe you're right. I gotta keep pounding the rock, as your father would say.
Grim-faced Katie looks down.
Him? I wouldn't be taking any advice from him.
Katie sneers.
He's caused enough trouble already.
Honey, he's still your father.
Katie pouts and stares at her.
I'm glad that you can sit there and defend him.
Katie purses lips.
I can't.
Jennifer opens mouth, shifts and leans in.
Look, I had a little setback.
Katie gazes at her.
I didn't even think those things existed outside of a cheap paperback novel, but...
Jen with a lasting smile.
They do.
Katie's mouth twitches.
And it's about healing, so I gotta...
Jennifer glances off.
Let go. And move on. Pick myself up and dust myself off. Just get back into that fight.
Katie glances down.
Well, if you're gonna get back in the fight, make sure you kick him where it hurts the most.
Come on, you know what I mean.
Jennifer leans back.
All right, Mom. I don't want to be a part of the problem, so I'm going to stand down for one weekend.
Katie shows pointing finger. Jennifer glances at her phone.
What's that?
Jen looks at phone.
It's just,
puts it down.
Just a little alarm that I've set for myself.
Katie watches Mom open handbag. Jennifer pulls out a pill bottle and opens it. Katie's eyes bore into the bottle. Jennifer pops a pill and schmoozes a smile at Katie's crestfallen eyes.
It's one day at a time.
Jennifer takes a glass and chases the pill with water.
I love you, Mom.
Jennifer puts down the glass. The women stare into each other's eyes, on a sidewalk with shopping bags.
So, what is next for the amazing Katie?
Well, thanks to Grandma, I have enough money to spend the next 2 weeks in London with my friends.
Oh, wow. That is a very generous gift.
Yeah, but as she likes to point out, I am her only grandchild.
Well, not for long.
Katie smiles.
So I heard.
Jennifer glances at her.
Wait, are you still not talking to your father?
Katie faces her.
I haven't stopped talking to him entirely. It's just... I'm having a really hard time forgiving him.
They stop.
I'm not there yet.
Jennifer shifts.
Look, I don't want this to ruin your relationship with him.
Katie leers.
Hey, I didn't ruin anything. He's the one who impregnated his office intern, and now he's going to marry her.
I know.
Jen looks down.
Sometimes I think I might have made it too easy for him.
Mom, stop.
Katie's forehead creases.
I'm glad it happened.
What?
He was probably doing it behind your back for a long time now. He just got caught finally.
Do we have to keep talking about this?
No, but you started it.
Katie grimaces.
Come.
The women walk off. By the river, boats in their slips, cars on a town street on a sunny day, the door of a florist shop opens. The suited man enters the florist shop, puts hands in pockets. Gives an upnit to the side. Looks around at plants and flowers. Spots a bouquet with colorful flowers in a vase and picks it up. Walks up to the counter.
Ma'am?
A gray-haired woman by the counter hands him a note card and a pen. He writes on it. At the Lafayette Hotel, the strong-jawed man enters the lobby holding the vase with the bouquet. Scans the lobby and notices two people reading on sofas.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, sir. We hope you enjoyed your stay.
An elderly man leaves the front desk. The man shifts the note inside the bouquet and approaches the front desk.
Howdy.
Wow. Are those for me?
I wish they were. They're for a guest of the hotel and Ms.
The card.
Williams.
Well, they're very pretty.
Desk clerk grins.
Let's see what we got here. We have a lot of people staying with us right now, what with the commencement exercises and all.
He faces her.
Yeah, I'm sure.
She checks.
Okay, I'm sorry. It looks like I do have one Williams at the hotel, but it's a single room, one occupant, and it's a man.
He stares at her.
You sure?
I'm so sorry. Maybe she's staying at another hotel.
He checks the screen.
Well.
He pouts.
Doris says this hotel.
Oh. Can I see it?
He frowns.
The order. Can I see it?
Oh, no, I left it in the van.
He sways head.
Would you like to leave your phone number? You know, in case she checks in later.
Oh, no. It's okay. I'll just check with the shop.
Yeah. Yes.
He turns to see Jennifer and Katie entering the lobby with the shopping bags. In an unsettled sense, he observes them as his jaw drops. An image of Katie's photo blinks.
Maybe I could,
She shrugs.
Save you some trouble.
No, it's okay.
He walks away with the bouquet.
Sorry I couldn't help you.
By elevator.
I got everything. Why don't we put put these bags up in my room, and then I'll drive you back to campus.
Oh, you don't have to do that. I can just take the train.
Well, I need to know where I'm going tomorrow anyway, so...
Richard comes up.
Look who it is.
Katie turns to him. The man with the bouquet ducks behind a valet carton observes.
Hey. What's up, baby?
It's good to see you.
So, when did you get here?
Just a little while ago. I texted you.
Oh, sorry. My phone must have been on vibrate.
Richard nods.
Of course.
Jennifer gives a thin-lipped smile.
Hey, what do you say we all go grab a drink in the lounge?
Dad.
What? You're old enough.
Her ice roll.
I should get going.
Going? No. It's been so long since I've seen you.
He looks at Jennifer.
What's the rush?
Tense face. Katie shrugs.
No rush.
Richard wide-eyed.
Great.
Hey, why don't you take these up to my room and just come meet us in the lounge?
Okay. If that's what you want.
Takes key.
That's what I want. 311.
Gotcha. 311. See you in a few.
Jennifer rubs her back and walks off with Richard. Katie calls the elevator holding a bunch of shopping bags. The man with a bouquet approaches. The elevator door opens. Katie enters the elevator and presses a button. The door starts to slide. The man with the bouquet puts arm in the door blocking it and the door opens. He enters the elevator and stands behind her with a joyful smile. The door closes.
Floor?
I'm good.
She looks over shoulder.
Those are beautiful.
Yes, they are.
He looks at the flowers.
Somebody's gonna get a nice surprise.
They exchange cheerful grins. Two women stand in a hallway as the elevator door opens.
Yeah, this is a great old hotel.
Yeah, it's like 100 years old or more.
Really? Wow. Pretty cool.
Yeah. I actually recommended it to my mom when she was asking me for a place to stay.
The man follows Katie along the corridor. She approaches a door.
Hey, you're in 311?
My mom is.
Oh, that's a coincidence. These are for 311. Miss Williams.
Hands her the card.
It's my mom's married name, but she doesn't go by that anymore. I wonder who sent these.
Pensive, he moves jaw.
I don't know, but I need a signature. Do you mind?
Oh, sure. Come on in.
She opens the door to 311.
No problem. Just put them down anyway.
She rushes inside and he follows her. He puts down the vase and she puts the bags on a cabinet. He locks the door. She freezes, turns head to the sound to see his cold stare.
Surprise.
Wide-eyed and jaw-dropped, Katie trembles. He steps toward her. Cut to black. A view of the city at night. Empty tram tracks with no entry signs. Elsewhere, a tram with a displayed direction. Erie Canal Harbor. On the back, University. Neon blinks and traffic lights change from green to red.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess with the time difference, I will be home at 4:30 on Sunday.
Oh, that gives you enough time to get settled before your conference call at 5:30.
Richard and Jennifer in the hotel lounge bar.
Same again, please.
Bartender sets up another round.
Look what happened to Katie. It's been a half an hour.
Yeah, she's probably just doing girl things, you know?
She gazes off.
Or maybe she wanted to give us a little space for a few minutes.
He stares at her as she fiddles with her pendant.
Maybe.
She plays with her hair.
So I was thinking about that.
Yeah?
His eyes bore into her.
Well, I,
She narrows eyes and pouts.
Even though I don't like it, you can sit with me tomorrow if you still want to.
He sways head.
Thank you. I do.
They nod.
I mean, you're right. It's one day, and I don't think that Katie should have to pay for
sins of the father.
She wets her lips.
I really want to make this very special, you know, for Katie.
So do I.
She hints a smile at him. She turns to her bag and pulls out a pack of cigarettes, a lighter, and cosmetics with shaky hands. He studies her. She takes out the phone with the incoming call. Unknown. Grim-faced, she taps the phone and looks away, puts it down. He observes her and the phone.
Well, I don't answer the phone. Somebody I don't know.
Oh, no, of course. Yeah, no, neither do I.
He peeks as she puts back the cigarettes and lighter.
Thought you quit.
His tense, flushed smile.
I did.
Eyes dredge the floor.
One day at a time, right?
Oh.
At his phone.
It's a text, Katie. Sorry, guys. Something came up. Had to run. Tell mom the key is on the table. Low battery. See you tomorrow.
Text on his phone.
There you go. Okay.
The suited man approaches two mid-age women at the bar lounge.
Good evening.
He gives a wide grin and scans around.
Sorry, can I see that, please?
The bartender brings drinks for Richard and Jennifer. She takes the phone from Richard and slowly shakes her head.
I find that really strange.
He holds the drink.
What?
Why would she text you and not me?
Her lips part.
I mean, I was supposed to drive her home. Why would she just leave?
Well, you know, kids are. They're impulsive, spontaneous. They shoot off in another direction at a moment's notice.
No. She didn't even say goodbye.
She's probably meeting up with some friends. I mean, this is a big party time for them right now. Parents only slow things down and get in the way.
Yeah, well, that was not the impression that I got from her today.
It's Katie. I can't take your call right
it's
now.
It's coming straight to voicemail.
She did say her battery was low.
Shakes her head.
I don't like it.
Bites her thumb.
Okay. Come on now. Don't let your imagination get away from you.
He hands her the drink and she gives him a stare.
What did you just say?
He takes a sip gazing at her, wets his lips and chin shrugs.
Forget it. It's nothing.
No. Why did you just say that?
Jen, I didn't mean anything.
No, I know exactly what you meant.
Jen,
you don't
take it.
Touch me.
Jen.
Don't you ever touch me.
She glares at Richard. The bartender stares at her. The suited man's eyes bore into them.
Jen, I really think you should calm down a little.
Her mouth twitches. She glowers at him and walks away. Richard watches her go. The suited man studies them with a grin.
Excuse me.
The suited man leaves the two women.
You need another?
Richard shoves his empty glass.
What do you think? Bourbon rocks, please.
The suited man sits next to Richard. Bartender points and steps off.
Women.
Richard looks at the man.
They do go crazy sometimes.
Richard grins.
Yeah, that's not the half of it.
Girlfriend?
Ex-wife.
The man looks away.
Very worst kind.
You said it.
Richard stares ahead and nods. The bartender serves the men their drinks.
Well, I feel for you, buddy.
The man takes a sip. Upstairs, Jennifer enters her room. She takes off her blazer. The vase with flowers sits behind her. A clock says 8:45. Holding the pill bottle, she turns back to see the bouquet with the note card that says Williams. She pops a pill and takes a few steps toward it. She spots a dripping tap. Notices a top cabinet ajar. Glances down to see a bottom cabinet ajar. Spots the hastily tossed shopping bags on the glass table. Her eye narrows as she gives a long stare at the flowers. She reaches for the note card and walks off, at the lounge. Richard faces the man.
She wouldn't even speak to me for almost a year.
Man's brows arc.
You know what I always say? Any woman who won't speak to you is doing you a favor.
Richard sways head.
Never thought of it that way.
And any woman who leaves you, she's doing you a favor too, because any woman who thinks she has the advantage is going to try to take over.
Richard sips.
Sounds like you know a few things about women.
Yep, I got one right now who won't talk to me.
The man gazes off with pressed lips. Richard studies him, then gazes back at the lobby.
You staying in the hotel?
Yeah, second floor. My daughter's graduation. You?
Just one night. I made out with some friends for a poker tournament. The casino on the other side of the water.
Yeah. Never been any good at poker.
The man takes a sip.
All you need to know is never let your face give you away.
Richard flattens lips and shakes head.
That's it.
The man gazes through him with a half smile.
Never let people know what you're really thinking.
The man gives him a long stare. At Jennifer's room, she picks up a landline phone and puts it to ear.
Front desk, can I help you, Miss Clark?
Yes, hi. Has someone from your cleaning crew been in my room today?
No, ma'am. Not since you checked in.
And what about turndown service?
I'm sorry, we don't offer a turndown service at this hotel.
A red rose on the note card.
So, there's a bouquet of flowers in my room. Do you know who put them here?
I just came on duty, but I can leave a note for the day clerk if you like.
If you don't mind. And do you happen to have surveillance cameras in the hallways?
No, ma'am. This is a very old hotel.
She glances down.
Okay, well, thank you.
Of course.
Good night.
Good night, Miss.
She puts down the phone. Stares at the empty note card with the rose and closes a small envelope. Narrows eyes and stares ahead. An incoming call on a phone shows Jennifer.
Oh.
Richard shows his phone.
There she is.
She's a pretty one.
Richard gives him a half smile and puts phone to ear.
Jen, hey. Yeah, look, I'm sorry about what I said. I wasn't thinking.
Richard, someone has been in my room.
She squints.
What?
He frowns.
Someone has been in here.
Yeah, of course I have. Katie just put your bags there a little while ago.
No, I mean someone else. There is a bouquet of flowers in here now, and I think...
She looks off.
I think someone searched my room.
Flowers?
Yeah, a big bouquet, and there's a card that says Ms. Williams.
Well, did you call the front desk?
Yes, I called the front desk, and they don't know anything, and...
She shivers.
Would you mind coming up here, please?
At the lounge bar.
Okay, sure, yeah, I'll be right up.
The man smiles.
311?
Yes, 311.
Richard puts down his phone.
Women, it is always something.
The man sucks in lips, then grins. Richard walks off.
Be careful.
The bartender leans over toward the man.
Would you like another drink?
No, I'm okay. I was just killing time.
The bartender gives a disinterested nod and steps away. The bemused man shifts. Puts bills on the counter. Richard enters the hallway and walks along holding his blazer and phone. Turns the corner and approaches the old-style elevator, presses a button. The suited man walks past Richard's back. The elevator door opens and Richard walks in, at Jennifer's room. Jennifer comes to the door, peeps through a peephole and opens it.
Hey.
Richard enters.
I'm sorry about reacting like that. Definitely something I'm working on.
It's okay. Should have chosen my words more carefully. So what's going on?
Well...
She points at the bouquet and he gazes at it.
Is it nice?
She takes the note card.
Look, it's blank.
Hands him the card. He glances at the envelope.
Miss Williams. Okay, well, I mean, don't you think these are probably meant for Katie? I mean, she is the one graduating. It would make some sort of sense.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Why not? Or maybe some guy picked her up here at the room and he brought these flowers for her.
Somebody referred to me as Miss Williams this afternoon.
And your name did used to be Jennifer Williams, and Katie's last name is Williams, and that's not so mysterious, is it?
Her hands on hips.
I'm telling you, it feels like somebody was here.
He stares at her.
There's something you're not telling me.
Her hands to hips and she peeks off.
Okay, all right, fine. I know sometimes I overreact. Just that...
She pushes the cabinet.
Things just feel different in here.
She shuts a drawer. He looks around.
Anything missing?
She glances aside, then looks at him and cocks head.
No, you're right.
Okay. Well, you know, we can still call down to the night manager, but if it turns out that Katie's behind all of this, we're going to look pretty foolish.
I just wish that I could talk to her.
His lips part. With her hand to mouth, she turns to her phone. On the screen, unknown. She turns over the phone.
Jen, if there's a new guy in your life, it's okay.
She faces him.
I told you I don't answer calls from unknown.
All right, fine.
He nods with a smile.
You okay now?
She rolls eyes and shrugs.
I'm fine.
All right. See you tomorrow?
She hesitates a nod.
If you need me, just call.
Thanks. I'll try not to bother you.
He goes to the door. The clock says 9:15. He pauses on the doorknob and looks back at her. Her chest rises. His eyes dart and lips flatten. He leaves the room.
Okay.
She wets lips.
Just pick yourself up. Dust yourself off.
She cocks head, steps off with a splayed finger shrug. Barefoot, she disappears in the bedroom. The front door with peephole. Slowly closer view of the door. Cut to black. Outside, daytime, the waterfall near the bridge, below the foaming water churns against the rocks. At the hotel. Downward view of Jennifer lying in bed with her eyes closed. The phone on a nightstand shows Katie calling. Jennifer flips over with a start and grabs it.
Katie, I've been worried sick about you. Where have you been?
She sits up in bed.
Katie.
Suited man in a darkened room.
I'm sorry, but Katie can't talk right now.
Who is this?
You know.
Katie tied to a chair and her mouth gagged.
There's a very beautiful little nightie in your back here.
At the hotel.
I can't imagine how you managed to sleep without it.
Where the hell is my daughter?
Disheveled in darkness, she shivers and winces.
Did you sleep naked last night, Jennifer?
like to imagine that you did.
Where the hell is my daughter?
First things first, Jennifer.
Jennifer glowers.
I want my backpack.
His brows arch.
Is that understood?
At the hotel.
Yeah, you can have your suitcase back. Just let my daughter go.
It's not that easy anymore.
I creep to Katie.
How do I know I can trust you?
Frantic eyes tremble.
Please, just let me give it back to you.
What to do, what to do?
Jennifer closes her eyes and rubs them.
Just tell me.
He lowers the phone and looks at the photo of smiling Jennifer, puts it back to his ear.
You know, you are a very pretty woman, Jennifer.
Her hand to mouth.
Judging by the clothes you got in your bag here, I would say that you have a nice, slim little body, too.
Smudged makeup, Katie's shuddering sobs.
You know, if I was your husband, I would never cheat it on you.
Jennifer winces.
Now, let's do a little FaceTime, shall we?
FaceTime, why?
Wait, you want to see that Katie's okay, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yes.
He beams.
Let's have a little look at you.
Jennifer and the man look at the screens of their phones. In a darkened room shaking, Katie observes him. He points the pink phone at Katie. Image of gagged Katie shows on Jennifer's screen.
Okay.
Jennifer's lower lip shivers.
Hey, don't cry.
You know, your photograph really doesn't do you justice. I think it might be your choice of lipstick is cheap.
Jennifer's face.
Too pink.
On Jennifer's phone, Katie squeezes her eyes shut.
Oh, honey, please, don't cry.
Jen shakes head.
Don't cry.
All right, Jennifer.
He stares at screen.
Let's see what you're hiding. Take off your shirt.
His hollow look, Jennifer's wide eyes.
What?
Take your shirt off.
Jennifer's brows knit and she cocks her head. She wets her lips and winces. Pulls her gray t-shirt down off both shoulders while holding the phone. His chin jutted grin.
I knew it. You work out, don't you?
Katie looks off.
Don't you?
Some.
I knew it. See, it pays to take care of yourself. Now you go get your act together and I'll call you again at noon. And keep that ex-husband out of the way if you want to see Katie alive again. He didn't love you anyway.
Jennifer shudders.
I say you understand.
I understand.
Joyful, he lowers phone as tear-streaked Katie's chest drops. At the hotel, Jennifer yanks shirt back up and clasps her mouth. She rushes out of the bed, in the dark room. The man slides a chair in front of Katie and slouches into it.
You know what the problem is with the world, Katie?
Shivering, Katie looks away.
No?
She cautions a side look.
These damn cell phones.
He shows the phone.
Everybody's obsessed with these things.
He regards it.
You walk around staring at him 90% of the time.
Her brows corner down, her shirt dirty and hair matted. He studies both sides of the phone.
Would like that when I was a kid.
Glances at her.
Now people they play games on these things, they talk on these things, they text on these things. You probably spend most of your free time staring at this thing, right?
Her eyes go wide and brows twitch. His head tilts.
I bet your mother was on the phone to some guy when she took my bag off the carousel.
She gapes at him.
How much you want to bet? Unlucky in love?
She squeezes her eyes shut, her brows drop.
Nobody pays any attention anymore. This whole situation could have been avoided if she'd been paying more attention.
His lip snarls, she sniffs. Then just as suddenly his peaceful pleasance.
See what kind of texting little Katie's been doing.
He scoots closer. Her eyes go round as she watches him searching the phone. He snaps a gaze at her.
Oh, Katie, Katie, Katie. No boyfriend texts?
She cringes, her head trembles.
No boyfriend?
She shakes head and sobs at the ground.
Oh, it's okay.
He smiles.
You will have soon enough.
She stares at him with saucer eyes. He sneers a wide grin. At the hotel, the elevator door opens and Jennifer in a khaki shirt marches out. Her lips set in a hard line, she stalks toward the front desk. A brunette man behind the desk.
Excuse me.
Can I help you?
Yesterday, I left a suitcase here and the girl put it behind the counter. I'd like it back now.
He searches.
I'm sorry, but there isn't any bag here now.
Her eyes dart.
The airport shuttle must have already picked it up.
Sorry, I think it's long gone.
He shrugs. Jennifer sighs heavy with a distant look.
Okay, thank you.
He chin shrugs as she turns and leaves. Now outside an imposing police building. Flags barely flit in the calm blue sky above.
Right this way, Miss Clark.
Inside, a bald-suited man with folder leads Jennifer. They pass a uniformed blonde policewoman. A plainclothes man with holstered gun trails.
Have a seat.
They enter a room with American flags.
Thank you.
Jennifer and the bald man sit at a table next to a big sunny window.
As I'm informed, you believe your daughter was kidnapped from your hotel room yesterday afternoon.
Man looms.
I know she was.
What time is this?
It was near dark.
Suit peeks at folder.
And you believe that she was kidnapped because of the suitcase you mistakenly picked up at the airport baggage claim?
Yeah, that's right.
But airport baggage claim has no record of any lost baggage, other than yours, which you reported yourself.
That's right. That's what they said.
Suit rolls eyes.
All right, your husband.
My ex-husband.
He side-eyes a stare.
Ex-husband. You say received a text message from your daughter last evening indicating she was just fine.
Yeah, but you see, that's just it. That wasn't from Katie. It was from him.
He frowns downward.
The man who kidnapped your daughter and wants his suitcase.
He eyes Loomer.
That's right.
But you don't have his suitcase.
No. No.
Her shuddered head shake.
It was left at the front desk. And someone from the airport, they picked it up. And it's in a van somewhere.
Okay. Did you look inside the suitcase?
I did.
And?
Nothing. Socks and shirts, but nothing unusual.
Nothing else?
That's not true. There was a passport in there, and it had no picture and no name.
Looming armed man watches her.
Why would anyone go through all the trouble to kidnap your daughter? I mean, why not just go back to the airport and let them handle it from there? It's just a suitcase.
She stares at him.
I don't know why. Maybe he's crazy, or maybe he's wanted for something. I don't know. Look, all I know right now is that we're wasting valuable time because if I don't get this suitcase, he's going to kill my daughter, and I don't have it.
She quails.
Okay, did anyone else see you with the suitcase that you claim to have accidentally picked up?
Her slack jaw squint.
I'm sorry, claim to have.
She stares into his eyes.
You're saying that you don't believe me?
Can anyone else verify that you had this suitcase?
Were you saying that I'm making this up?
The bald man blinks and she peeks at the looming man.
Are you currently taking any prescription medications, Miss Clark?
Excuse me? What are you getting at right now?
I don't mean to be insensitive, but these are the questions that I'm required to ask.
The hell you are.
The man with the gun gives her a cold stare.
Okay, why don't you talk to the desk clerk?
Juts her head.
I gave the suitcase to her. All right?
We'll talk to her.
This is totally unreal. Why don't you believe me?
Because your ex-husband called here a little while ago.
The man with the gun leans in.
He told us you might come in with a story like this.
Her mouth moves silent.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Why would he do that?
A shrug.
Why would he?
She stands up and stares. The bald man uncrosses arms. She shifts her handbag, smooths her shirt and walks off.
What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna go get a suitcase.
The bald suit watches her leave, then turns at the other man.
What do you think?
Not a shred of hard evidence, but...
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Suit taps his cell.
Still, there's a desk clerk and the ex-husband. Maybe it wasn't him who called here after all.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Phone to ear.
Hotel Lafayette? Yes, could you put me through to the room of a guest named Richard Williams?
The bald man's brows knit. He juts his jaw with a downcast glance.
You gotta be kidding me.
Others wide eye frown.
Get your coat.
The bald man glowers, stands up, and the two men leave. Now a big building with a statue on the roof. Jennifer walks on a sidewalk. She opens a store door marked Buffalo Niagara, enters and views suitcases. A bespectacled man in plaid bow tie half looks over.
Looking for anything special?
Yeah, actually, I'm looking for a suitcase.
Oh. He faces her.
You have some very nice ones. Maybe a rollerboard.
No, actually, I need something bigger and black.
He snatches up a black one.
Not very fancy, but functional. And black.
He hands her the suitcase. She turns it over and studies it.
It's almost perfect.
He cocks head.
It's the only one we have in that style.
Long-faced Jennifer stares at the suitcase, then nods.
Okay, I'll take this.
Great.
She gives him the suitcase and he walks off with it.
I'll take these two.
She picks up two small pillows. The man puts the suitcase on a counter. She joins and puts the pillows next to it, She reaches to her bag and pulls out a wallet, takes out a card and gives it to him.
Thank you.
She unzips the suitcase, packs the two pillows in it, reaches in her handbag, pulls out a bundle in a plastic bag and places it in the suitcase. She closes the lid and zips the suitcase back up. He gives her a receipt and a pen, she signs it. She pulls her phone from her handbag. Text on its screen from Katie, message for you at the front desk, the man hands back her card.
Thank you.
She grabs the suitcase and rushes out of the shop, glancing at the phone. In the darkened room, Katie gapes at the suited man, he glances at her with a heavy-chested sigh. He gives her a long blank-faced stare, reaches to the inside pocket of his blazer, takes out the money clip, opens and displays it.
See this money clip?
Tilts his head.
This was my father's.
He studies the money clip, then snaps it shut. Katie's eyes widen.
I'd like to be very well organized with his money.
He fiddles with the clip.
He always knew exactly how much he had.
She observes as he reaches to a woman's handbag, pulls out a wallet and unzips it. He takes out money from the wallet, closes and puts it back in the handbag. Then places the cash in the money clip. Her brows arch high over rounded eyes.
I took $5 from him once, when I was a kid.
Her eyes strain away then back at him.
He found out later and,
He flattens lips and studies the money clip.
He beat the hell out of me for 5 straight days.
She quails.
1 day for every dollar.
He shows her the money clip then touches his lips with it. Her back bolsters with a shudder.
Yeah.
He broods a sickly smile at Floor.
He was funny about money.
Gives her a long stare with cash still pressed to lips.
Maybe that's where I get it from.
A stiffened Katie stares wide-eyed. He tips the money toward her.
Oh, is this your allowance?
Her eyes squeeze shut a stifled sob.
Oh, well, don't cry, princess. I'm sure there's plenty more where this came from.
He purses lips and moves jaw.
I have a feeling you're about to come into a very large inheritance.
He glances at her as she flinches. A daytime commercial street, a parked police car with light bar blinking. On the door, Buffalo Police, Jennifer comes from across the street holding the black suitcase, passes by the police car and looks around. She enters a building. Inside, a policeman talks to two young women, another policeman joins. Jennifer enters the hotel lobby, walks past the luggage carrier filled with travel bags and approaches the front desk.
Oh, I see you found your bag.
Yeah, is there a message for Jennifer Clark?
Talk to me over here for a second. I just want to let you know, a gentleman disappeared.
I could just see some ID, please.
The desk clerk holds an envelope. She digs in her handbag, pulls out a wallet and shows him ID.
Great, thank you.
Hands her the envelope.
Yep.
She tears it open. She takes out a handwritten note. AAA Stadium, let's go to second base.
AAA Stadium?
It's about 3 blocks from the hotel up Washington Street.
She eyes the cop.
What's going on?
Cleaning crew found one of the guests this morning.
What? Dead?
Murdered. Happened sometime last night. Guy named Williams.
A sobered Jennifer gives him a stare.
Williams?
They think maybe his ex-wife did it. A bartender in the lounge said she went off on him last night.
She gapes.
And then she invited him to her room later.
He watches the policeman.
No one saw him alive since.
Her chest heaves as she slowly side-eyes the gathering.
They did find a clue, though. A pair of women's panties in his room.
The bald suit and looming partner with the gun descends stairs while reviewing notes. Loomer scans the lobby then pats bald suit when he spots her.
Hey, look who it is.
The man with the gun points out Jennifer. She shifts then bolts.
Miss Clark, stop!
She flees with the suitcase. The two men sprint after her. She moves the luggage valet into their way and luggage spills from it. She shoves past a man at the main door. Darts into traffic. Drops the suitcase. She retrieves the suitcase between speeding cars and runs off. The two men rush from the hotel and halt on the sidewalk scanning around. The bald man presses his lips and turns to his partner.
Come on, let's go inside.
Grim-faced, the men go back to the hotel. Back inside, the bald man kicks a travel bag. His partner shoves the luggage valet out of their way. A suited man in glasses turns to the profusely nodding desk clerk.
I want you in my office tomorrow at 4 o'clock, and bring the cleaning crew with you. And don't forget.
Yes, sir.
Manager leaves.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
What did that woman say to you?
She asked if there was a message left for her.
And?
And I gave it to her.
What did it say?
I don't know. It was in a sealed envelope.
Do you know who it was from?
It was just laying on the desk when I came back from break.
Vald frowns.
Anything else?
She asked where AAA Field was.
The detectives exchange glances. The bald man nods.
Come on.
The two walk away. Elsewhere, steady traffic along an overpass. A bus passing through an industrial area drives under it, nearby in the industrial area. A green shed over black stadium seats. Next to it a group of red seats in the open air. Jennifer runs across a parking lot behind the seats. She rushes to a green slat stadium fence and frantically tugs on a padlock that secures it. She surveys the fence, then spots stacks of wooden pallets, climbs up them with a suitcase. Using the chain link to pull herself up, she reaches the top, throws the suitcase and her handbag over. Jumps and pushes herself over the fence, holding on to a railing of the stairs on the other side. She grabs the suitcase and runs up the stairs. She rounds a corner and leaves the sun into a darkened underground utility passage. She sprints until reaching a bleacher marker for sections 112-114, notices a trash bin and lifts the lid to stash the suitcase inside. Rushes out to the stadium bleacher section 112. She doubles over, panting with fists to hips. Her chest rises and drops. She looks around.
Hello?
Rows of stadium seats surround in front and behind.
I'm here!
Her head whips around. She covers her mouth. She begins to descend stairs between the seats toward the sunny baseball diamond below. On the diamond grass a sign, Roswell Park. She approaches a small dugout roof under the stadium seats, uses it to jump down onto the field near first base. She storms the first to second baseline, then plants herself midfield with an exhausted sway of her arms before they pop and she snarls.
Hello!
She leans her yell, then spins around in every direction. Hands to her hips. Looks toward the sound at the ground. Leans over to see a mobile phone wedged under second base. She pulls out the flip phone, opens it and puts it to ear.
Hello?
She slowly rises from her squat.
Hello?
Very good, Jennifer. I'm proud of you. I knew you were different. Sorry about Richard, he just wasn't right for you. Guess there's nothing like having the police chase after you to make you run a little faster, huh?
Why?
I had to make sure this stayed between you and me.
She recoils.
No outsiders. No white knights. No busybodies. Just one man, one woman.
She juts chin.
Just keep the game nice and simple.
How's Katie?
Katie's crying. She wants to go home. Where's my suitcase?
I have it.
I don't see it.
She glances back at the empty stadium seats and the arena.
I hid it. I wanted to see Katie first.
See, this is just the sort of thing that makes Katie cry. I'm trying to be nice, and this is how you treat me. Maybe I was wrong about you. Maybe you're not a good girl after all.
No. No, I am. I'm a good girl.
I don't like to hurt Katie, but you're making me do it, Jennifer.
No, please. Please don't hurt her.
Get my suitcase, now.
Okay, I will.
Bring it through the home team dugout. Release the locker room.
Yes.
She puts down the phone.
Stop where you are, Miss Clark.
Gapes ahead.
Now. Go down your bird. Get on your knees and your hands behind your head.
Two cops enter over home plate and her arms drop.
Do it now. Off the bird.
With pursed lips, she spots the detectives walk out between the red stadium seats above third base. She raises her hands, holding the flip phone and the handbag, opens one hand and the phone drops. Two uniformed policemen stop and stare at her. She trembles as the detectives descend while followed by another two uniformed cops. She drops her hands and flees toward first. The two detectives and four officers rush down the stairs and over as she sprints past first base. She climbs up the first base dugout and flees upstairs between seats. The bald man breaks ahead of the others. She runs out through the Section 112 tunnel. Sprints past the trash bin while knocking it over to yank the suitcase free, descends the staircase out back while throwing handbag and suitcase over the green stadium fence, climbs over and jumps down to the pallets. She stumbles back and falls on boxes below. From on her back in the crushed boxes, pulls herself up and free. Grabs the suitcase and darts off. The detectives, two cops and a stadium worker descend the stairs on the other side of the padlocked gate. She runs past them.
Come on, get this gate open!
Should take a minute.
Two cops try another way.
Oh, come on!
Detectives wait on security shirt man to work padlock.
That woman runs like a deer.
She's running for her life.
The detectives watch her.
What the hell is she doing here?
I don't know. Something weird's going on.
Bald man's creased brow. Later, their shadows lean over the cell at second base as it's picked up.
Disposable cell phone. Temporary calling plan. Not traceable, but we can see what the guys can come up with.
Bagged cell.
Maybe we can find out who she was talking to.
Think she was meeting somebody?
Probably. She had a suitcase.
The bald man stuffs chin with tongue.
Keeps coming back to that suitcase.
One thing's for sure. She's not in this alone.
The detectives walk across the stadium. Elsewhere, a silver car parked by a cafe with frosted trees etched into the windows. Sign out front displays a deer. In the empty inside, a woman figure sits at a table in the shadows, phone to ear.
Hey, it's Katie. I can't take your call right now, but leave a message.
A middle-aged woman approaches Jennifer and plops down a coffee pot.
You okay, kid?
What?
Just checking to see if you're okay. You've been staring at that table for a half an hour now.
I'm fine. Is there a problem? I can order something else.
No, not at all. This is a coffee shop, hon. No big deal.
Kind smile.
You can stay as long as you like.
Jennifer swallows and stares down.
It's just...
Jennifer's lowered lids.
You seem to have the weight of the world on your shoulders.
Jennifer brooding.
Where do you go when you've got no one to turn to? That's a good one.
The woman frowns.
No friends, no family?
Jennifer shakes head.
No one can help me. Then, I guess you just have to turn to yourself. Maybe you're the only one you can really count on.
With raised chin up, Jen swallows hard and stares ahead.
That's a choice.
Waitress takes leave.
Exercises. Friends and parents gathered at Ivy Hall earlier in the day to applaud what will surely be one of the most promising groups now entering the country's workforce.
Hello.
You're pretty fast when you want to be.
Answers her cell.
Punctual. I admire that.
The suitcase nearby.
I've never met a woman who could follow simple instructions.
Her chest drops.
But I really like you. You deserve a break.
Her mouth twitches and she cocks head.
You still have my bag?
Yes.
Good. Let's see how fast you really are. Now, to make sure the police aren't tailing you, we're gonna play a little game. I'm gonna run you around town a little.
Her eyes shimmer.
If I even think you're being followed, the game is over. If I see you talking to anyone, the game is over. You won't know when I might be watching you, but that's part of the game.
Lives go on outside.
Now, I want you to get over to the History Museum. You'll have to locate a cell phone I've hidden there. I'll call it at exactly 3:50. If you don't answer, Katie's dead. If anyone else answers, Katie's dead. Pretty simple, right?
Right.
Take the subway, Jennifer. You might just make it if you hurry. Time starts.
Her eyes welled up.
Now.
Her chest rises and she puts down the phone. Grabs the suitcase and handbag and rushes out from the cafe. Slows down crossing the street then runs. Elsewhere, a bus departs from a station, the big white tower building behind in the background. Jennifer opens a glass door and rushes inside, hurries down an escalator in a brightly lit up tunnel. A blonde woman goes up on a nearby escalator. Jennifer reaches the bottom and enters an empty subway platform, looks around and walks ahead. On a display, no smoking in station, she looks right and left at an empty track. The train's headlight approaches, she turns toward it, her hair moves in the buffeting air. On the platform's display, today the last train from Erie Canal Harbor Station leaves at 12 midnight. A train with a destination displaying Erie Canal Harbor enters the station, stops.
Train will depart in 30 seconds.
An automatic train door opens. She enters, rushes in, and slumps into a thin padded seat.
Doors closing. Next stop, Fountain Plaza.
She grips her hands on the suitcase and lowers head. Shoulders tremble. The train leaves the station. Jennifer sits with the suitcase between her legs. She sways, still gripping its handle. Peeks over her shoulder at a gray-haired mustached man who stares at her, then gazes down. She looks away and her eyes dart. A middle-aged blonde and young brunette stare at Jennifer's grim-faced and reddened eyes before looking away. Back at the police station.
They finally located the day clerk from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
She confirmed that Clark did leave a small suitcase at the front desk to be picked up by someone from the airport.
I figured as much.
Yeah, that. And the fact that Clark's daughter, Catherine Williams, failed to show up for her graduation ceremony today. Nobody we talked to has seen her since before noon Friday.
Father's been murdered. Mother's on the run, and the daughter she says was kidnapped has turned up missing.
Bald man shakes head.
Where are they?
I got an idea.
Partner walks off and the bald man follows. In the subway, Erie Canal Harbor train halts at a station. In the train, Jennifer sways on the seat, her mouth twitches and face tenses. She stands up and raises hand to grab a handle, station displaying, Humboldt, Hospital. She approaches a door and holds onto a rail, peeks upwards, the door opens and she leaves the train onto a platform. Climbs up an escalator carrying the suitcase. At the top she pushes a glass door and goes into the bright sun, looks around. Darts across a road toward a building with a red roof. A brick fence surrounds the road, a sign, the Buffalo History Museum, established 1862. She runs up the stairs leading to an entrance. Enters a museum and descends the main stairs, passing people walking upwards, a huge painting between columns behind her. She runs down the stairs with dark brown wooden railing, takes a corner, slows down, her shoulders drop as she looks around, then heads in the direction an elevator sign points. She passes antique weapon display cases, glances around different guns and weapons displayed in glass cases. She clasps her forehead, turns toward the sound with jaw dropped. She dashes into another room with a vintage horse carriage, runs toward it, throws the suitcase and feels material padding the bottom, puts hand under it to find a phone.
Hello.
This is fun, isn't it, Jennifer?
She winces.
That's it.
The dark room.
Catch your breath. You're gonna need it.
The suited man hints a smile. She holds on to the carriage.
Why are you doing this to me?
In the darkened room.
Trust is a very hard thing to come by.
Katie's face contorted.
Nobody tells the truth anymore. I think you do.
His brows arch and he nods.
I know the sound of truth when I hear it. You hate me, don't you?
In the museum, her lips part.
No, I don't hate you.
Of course you do.
Her eyes narrow.
I killed Katie's dad.
In the room, Katie jolts and her eyes bulge.
But I expected that.
He glances down, then his eyes slowly run up Katie and fix on her.
No, people tell you they love you to your face all the time.
At the museum.
They don't mean it.
Jennifer sways and looks down.
They just lie straight out.
In the darkened room, the man's face tense.
But when someone told you they hate you.
Katie's chest rises and brows twitch.
You know they really mean it.
His lips a hard line.
Hate is the only emotion I've ever really trusted.
In the museum, Jennifer with closed eyes.
I don't hate you.
She shakes head.
If only I could believe you.
In the room, Katie gapes at him. He shrugs and his mouth corners go down.
But I don't hate you either.
And with your best interest at heart, I want you to head over to the aquarium
and locate the phone I've left for you.
Katie pants sidelong.
And then we can agree to meet. One man.
He gives a cold stare.
And one woman.
The aquarium.
30 minutes should give you plenty of time.
Checks her watch.
And remember.
In the room.
If you don't answer the phone, she's dead.
Katie flinches.
If anyone else answers it, she's dead. Just so we're clear.
Jen nods.
Yeah, we're clear.
She juts chin. In the room, he puts down the phone, observing Katie. In the museum, Jennifer puts down the phone, grabs the suitcase and runs off. Outside, cars drive on a street. In a car, the bald man picks up a phone.
This is Ford.
Detective Ford, this is Karen over at Intel.
Yeah, go ahead.
Got that Chicago profile on Jennifer Clark that you asked for?
All right, what'd you find out?
Well, she does work at PRNC Distribution, just like she said. 2 months now, perfect attendance. Prior to that, she was unemployed for 6 months.
6 months?
Apparently, she had some kind of nervous breakdown shortly after splitting up with her husband, Richard Williams. There are no available medical records as to the extent of her previous condition or any medications that might be involved.
Why not?
It's the weekend. It's going to take a little while.
All right, copy that. How'd you find all this out so quickly?
Clark has a police record on file with the Chicago PD. I guess she's had a few outbursts. Nothing serious, but enough to make a few people nervous.
She do any time?
No, sir.
All right, anything else?
Just that radio blast we put out with Clark's description.
Yeah?
It paid off. Guy at Kerwood's drugstore says Clark was in there early today around 11:30. No suitcase, but he says she acted strung out and paid with a credit card. It was her, all right.
Well, what'd she buy?
A pack of cigarettes, disposable lighter, hairspray, a can of insect fogger.
Insect fogger?
Yeah, a bug bomb. You pull the tab, it releases a poisonous cloud, kills all the roaches in your house.
Yeah, I know what a bug bomb is. Thanks.
Frown Ford exchanges glances with his partner and shakes head. In a subway, Jennifer sits on the train holding the suitcase. A tattooed man in a leather jacket enters.
Next stop, Seneca Station.
He holds onto a rail and squints, spots Jennifer, the doors close. She stares ahead. The tattooed man staggers toward her passing two passengers. He sits down near Jennifer and peeks over his shoulder. A middle-aged woman in glasses frowns at him. He scans around glancing at a balding man reading a newspaper. The man notices him then glances back at the newspaper. The tattooed man gives Jennifer a once-over. Leans into her.
Hey there.
He gives half a smile.
Hi.
Jennifer hints a smile and he points.
What's in the bag?
She moves the suitcase between her legs. He wets lips, front tooth missing.
Hey, I said, what's in the bag?
Her shoulders drop.
It's just clothes.
He cracks a smile.
Just clothes.
He nods and points at the bag.
Can I see?
No, I don't think so.
He slides beside her and unfolds a lockblade knife at her hip.
I ain't asking you. I'm telling you.
He grabs the bag and moves it toward himself.
That's right. Now the purse.
He waves his fingers and takes her handbag. Her lips part.
Please, there's nothing in the suitcase.
He glowers at her. Observes an elderly man who stares with a blank face, looks back at her. The train stops at the station. The tattooed man leaves the train with Jennifer's suitcase and handbag. Jaw dropped, Jennifer covers her face. Pensive, she stands up. The train stops at the station with displayed sign park and ride. She darts along a platform toward the tattooed man digging in her handbag. He throws the handbag as she grabs the suitcase. They wrestle over it. He slaps her and she falls down on her back. He pulls out the knife and opens it, puts it to her neck.
You should have stayed on the train when you had the chance.
She finds a spray can next to her handbag. Sprays in his face and pushes him away as he covers his eyes. Hits him with the suitcase. He collapses. A train enters the station. Jennifer collects the knife and her handbag and flees. The man lies on his side. The automatic door opens and she enters the train. The train departs. Inside, Jennifer gasps for air. She clutches the suitcase and the handbag. Tilts her head back to close her eyes for a moment, then straightens back up her head. Later, she exits University Station and dashes away. Planes and cars at the airport parking lot. Ford and his partner enter the crowded airport and look around. They spot Nancy behind the counter showing a piece of paper to a woman in jeans. Ford's brows knit and they step forward. They approach Nancy's counter and Ford unbuttons his blazer.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How can I help you?
I'm Detective Ford. This is my partner, Joe Jacobs.
Flashes badge.
Something wrong?
Did you receive a bag today from the Hotel Lafayette?
Yes, sir. About a half an hour ago, it was a pickup. Nobody's claimed it yet.
May we see it?
Of course.
Nancy picks up the black suitcase with yellow strap. Hands it to Ford, who exchanges look with Jacobs.
I'm going to take it.
Right.
Ford steps away and Jacobs faces her.
Can you provide us with a passenger list from the plane that bag was on?
Sure. Just take a minute to pull it up.
All right.
Checks the laptop.
I need to know the name of everybody who was on that plane, even the flight attendants.
Okay.
Everybody.
Yes, sir.
Ford walks with the suitcase toward the seats. Sits down and places the bag next to him, feels it. Unzips the lid, a view from inside the suitcase at Ford. He takes out the clothes and the toiletry bag, flips through the passport with empty pages and puts it aside. Feels the suitcase lining. Unzips it. Looks inside, pauses, and sighs with a nod. He repacks, closes the bag and walks off. Back at the counter.
I also need the connecting flight information for each passenger.
Ford beckons.
Joe.
Keep looking.
She nods as Ford and Jacobs step aside. Ford looks around, then holds up and opens the suitcase for Jacobs.
Take a look.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I have to agree.
They exchange glances and Ford closes the lid. They walk away. Through a park, Jennifer rushes with the suitcase along a path. She takes a corner and passes a blue building marked, Aquarium. Inside, a turtle swims in water. A shark glides by, fish open in close mouths. A red and yellow fish hides under a sea plant.
Ferry extends from the subarctic to tropical waters of the global ocean in both the northern and southern hemispheres, with the notable exception of the northern Atlantic Ocean. They have an average lifespan of about 20 to 30 years. A male California sea lion.
Jennifer rushes down the stairs near the main pool and enters the exhibition area. A brunette picks up a ringing phone and answers it.
Hello?
Jen lunges.
Who is this? No. Hello? Hello, this is Jennifer. Hello, it's Jennifer.
All right, so you're Jennifer. Chill out. Is Cindy there?
On a phone.
Sorry. What's the matter with you?
Jennifer gives back the phone.
Oh, hey, Mallow. You won't believe what just happened.
Jennifer walks off, draws near a raised rocky water reservoir in a dark room, on a screen over it. What is a tidal pool? She skirts around it. Looks toward the sound at the tide pool, puts aside the suitcase and her handbag, glances at the water and spots a phone at the bottom. A crab walks over it. Puts her hand inside and pulls out a cell phone in a plastic bag. She tears open the bag and takes out the phone wrapped in another plastic. Her hands shake as she unwraps it.
No.
She winces.
No.
Looks at the phone with contorted face.
No.
Leans in as her shoulders shudder. Peeks at the phone then looks away. Wide-eyed she freezes and puts the phone to ear.
Hello?
What happened?
Her hand and face wet, her face twists.
I had trouble getting the cellophane off, that's all.
I feel almost guilty putting you through all of this, but I can't risk it. I have a funny way of looking at things. You ready to meet up?
She purses lips.
Yes.
Get over to Niagara Falls, the Cave of the Winds. It's closed for maintenance. I'll meet you at the bottom in 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
Don't do anything stupid, or Katie goes for a swim.
She shivers, puts down the phone and glares at it. She peeks at her watch, rushes to her bags, and flees off with them. Along a suburban street, a car drives.
Yeah, this area used to really be something. Look at those great old houses just waiting to be restored. Just look at
a cab.
Now, you go over to the Canadian side. It's like Las Vegas. Casinos, restaurants. It's all bright lights and money.
Rubs her forehead.
Here? No. See for yourself.
Cab driver points. She peeks at her watch.
Could you please hurry?
Lady, we're making great time, all right? Anyway, as I was saying.
In local news, police are still on the lookout for Jennifer Clark, described as a person of interest in a brutal beating death of her ex-husband, Richard Williams, found dead in his room early this morning at the Hotel Lafayette.
Radio.
Clark is said to be a Caucasian.
How much further? How much further?
Lady, you don't have to shout. I can hear you.
Radio off.
Well?
She leans in.
Three more blocks, okay?
Okay.
The cabbie watches in the rearview as she eases back to her seat with a deep sigh at the radio. The cab drives onto a bridge. The cab crosses the bridge. The city buildings overlook a foamy river. Looking up at the huge foamy waterfall. Now the cab pulls up to a curb and stops. Jennifer opens the sliding door and gets out of the van cab, slides the door shut and gives money to the driver.
Yeah, here, keep the change.
Darts with the suitcase, passing green booths with signs, tickets, entrance to Maid of the Mist and observation deck. She runs along a path on the edge of the waterfall. A small crowd gathers near a railing to observe. The enormous waterfall towers over the landscape. Jennifer takes a few steps down, runs past people with children resting on rocky seats. Slows down looking around.
Excuse me?
Yeah?
I'm looking for Cave of the Winds.
Oh, no, take the boat. It's so much nicer.
No, I need Cave of the Winds.
Okay, well, the cave's straight on.
Thank you.
A blonde man showing her the way shrugs as she darts off, then turns to the waterfall with his camera. Jennifer runs along the river. Checks her watch and speeds up. A green sign with an arrow, Cave of the Winds, a sign on a chain-link fence, danger, construction area, another sign in red letters, do not enter, no public access. She takes a corner with a sign, caution danger keep out with yellow tape attached. A man in official green jacket talks to a group of people. Jennifer sneaks past a yellow tape barrier just as the man spots her and frowns. She approaches an elevator that reads, hard hat area, and she presses the call button. She hops into the elevator as it opens, the green jacket man rushes after, the elevator door slides and the man reaches it just as it shuts, he pumps fist and rushes off. In the elevator, Jennifer glances at a display with a red arrow pointing down, next to it a letter X and the word, in, display alternatingly. She leans to rest until the elevator door opens, then goes out into a dark tunnel. She pauses to stare down pensive a moment. Turns back and grabs a nearby fire extinguisher to block the elevator door open with. She unzips the top pocket of the suitcase and digs inside. Unwraps an aerosol bug bomb and activates it, spray releases. She quickly shoves the spraying bomb back in the bag and zips the pocket. Grabs the suitcase and darts along the dark tunnel with miner's bulbs on the ceiling. Outside of the tunnel, a worn-out sign, Cave of the Winds Elevators. She leaves the tunnel, elsewhere on a street.
You know what puzzles me?
In the car.
We have the killer's suitcase, and the killer has Clark's suitcase.
Then whose suitcase is she carrying around with her?
Exactly.
Has to be a fake.
She's pretty desperate. But it's not gonna go well for a guy opens up that case and realizes he's been had.
That's why we have to find him first. Yeah.
Ford drives, Jacobs' phone to ear.
All right, call him back and tell him to meet us there.
Ford peeks at him.
And send over a couple black and whites.
What is it?
Security guard called in a trespasser matching Clark's description. Right down in the suitcase.
Where is she?
Niagara Falls, Cape of the Winds.
By the waterfall, Jennifer runs along a path with a red railing, a rainbow in the sky behind her. Choppy rough waters churn against rocks and splash on the path. High up, at the top of the stairs next to the waterfall, stands the suited man with Katie. Jennifer notices them. She halts, then climbs the stairs holding onto the railing. Grim-faced Jennifer stops at the higher platform and stares at them. He holds Katie by the shoulders.
Jennifer, you're a good girl after all!
Katie's in his hair wet.
No, you really are!
Katie stares ahead.
Do you hate me yet?
He glares and Katie glances at her.
I hate you.
Good. Finally a woman who tells it like it is. But I can really go for you if the circumstances were right.
He smiles.
We can be good together.
Jen glares.
Let Katie go.
Set out the suitcase.
Jen's hair moist.
No, you let Katie go first and then we both walk away.
That's not how it works.
He frowns.
Now be a sweetheart and bring me the damn bag.
Jennifer gazes down at the suitcase, then pulls it up high above her head.
Don't do anything crazy!
He glowers.
Don't try me! You let Katie go!
See?
He peeks at Katie.
Give a woman an advantage, she's what to give you orders. I don't think so.
As he begins to push Katie toward her, Jennifer heaves and throws the case to a lower staircase landing.
No!
He leaves Katie and rushes down the platform stairs. Jennifer climbs up the stairs and Katie runs into her arms.
Are you okay? I'm still out here.
Katie's wrists are bound but they run. He reaches the suitcase and opens it. The cloud of fog sprays into his face from the suitcase. He waves hands, then looks at the women running down the stairs. He rushes down after.
Katie! No, no, Katie! No, no, no!
Katie falls down and he grabs her. Jen slaps him and he punches back.
No!
Katie flees and he goes after her. Jennifer follows. He catches Katie and pushes her upstairs. Jennifer pulls the knife out from her handbag. He throws Katie down and Jennifer attacks him. He grabs Jen's hand and they wrestle. He pushes Jennifer over the railing holding her neck. She pushes his head trying to aim with a knife. He blocks her hand. Katie tries to tear her bonds with teeth. Jennifer claws his face then kicks his knee and he stumbles back now holding the knife. Jennifer touches her neck and braces herself. He takes a firm grip with a knife and lunges. A red stain appears on his chest. He falls back through the railing and into the waterfall. Jennifer looks over to see Ford and Jacob's aimed guns. Jennifer trembles. The detectives holster their guns.
Come on.
Ford pats Jacob's and they step off. Kneeling, Katie peeks at her mom. Jennifer rushes to hold Katie, then they run off wincing. A rocky island covered in trees next to the waterfall. Birds fly over it. Exiting a police car, Ford gives Jacob's a green folder. Ford knits brows as they walk. The two detectives draw near Jennifer and Katie.
Miss Clark, Katie.
Jen with a cup.
How are you holding up?
Oh, we're better now.
Katie shivers.
How did you guys get down the falls? I jammed the elevator.
We overrode the service elevator.
Jennifer nods.
That's the guy.
Jen points.
That's the one that killed Richard.
Katie quails.
We know. You're off the hook.
Jennifer nods and looks at Jacobs.
You are. We located the real suitcase. The one that you sent back to the airport.
Thank God. So...
Jennifer's eyes dart.
Sorry, what was this all about?
Katie studies her.
Go.
Ford glances at Jacobs, who pulls out a wrapped book from the green folder.
U.S. Treasury bearer bonds. $1 million each. There's 50 of them.
Jacobs hands it to Ford.
$50 million?
All counterfeit, except for the one on top. These are the last of a group that were intercepted by the FBI last week on the way to Zurich. Now, TSA was on the alert for them, so he didn't want to take them on the plane.
Jennifer shakes head.
Where were they?
The lining of the suitcase. There was also $50,000 in cash and a lead-lined shaving cream can. That's why I didn't want to go through X-ray.
Jennifer pensive.
Okay, I guess I'll be more careful when I travel next time.
Maybe. Whenever you ladies are ready.
Ford and Jacobs walk away. Katie puts her head on Jennifer's shoulder. Her mom holds her head and kisses her forehead.
I'm gonna miss Dad.
The women close their eyes. Jennifer's head twitches.
Honey, I'm so sorry about everything.
Katie glances up at her.
This isn't your fault.
Jennifer's chest drops.
That man did.
Katie's eyes wet as she winces.
He deserved it.
Jennifer glares ahead, pensive.
Yeah.
Jennifer raises her chin.
I think I'm done with all the fighting. I'm gonna concentrate on getting back to my old self again.
Jennifer gazes at Katie.
Mom, I'm sorry that I called you a doormat.
No.
It's what you did today. You were amazing.
Jennifer rubs Katie's forehead.
You said it, not me.
Jennifer puts arm around Katie.
Come on.
They walk away. The waterfall towers over a rocky coast. Fades to black. Credit rolls, unit production manager Christopher Ray. First assistant director Dan Golden. Second assistant director Sean Carter Christopher. Cast, Jennifer, Jamie Luner, Connor, Stephen Brand. Katie, Audrey Whitby, Richard, Jason Shane Scott, Jacobs, Richard Lunello, Ford, Gerald Webb, Karen, Tara Price, Andy, Paul Spitali, desk clerk Sherry Chelsea London Lloyd, Carney, Jason Wolin, clerk Nancy Debbie Rochon, teenage girl Grace Around, bartender Dan Golden, shopkeeper Guy Tomasi, woman, Lauren O'Brien, Sarah, Mary Kate O'Connell, cab driver Steve Vaughn, newscaster Kim Piazza, Niagara Falls groundskeeper Chris Schrock, baseball stadium guard Greg Lamberson. Friend at the Aquarium Macro Malo, small child Kellen Lamberson, NFTA officers, Michael Garrity, George W. Gast, Fred Jones III, Marty Jones, Lauren Nowakowski, production coordinator Ron Eli Cohen, assistant production coordinator Sam Qualiana. Casting by Pemrick Frank Casting, original music by Jess Walton, costume design by Allison Peroni, edited by Randy Carter, line producer Gerald Webb, production designer David Butler, director of photography Theo Angel. Executive producers Michael Moran, Fernando Su, Sharon Bordas, produced by Fred Olin Ray, Chris Olin Ray, screenplay by Fred Olin Ray, directed by Fred Olin Ray.